You're listening to Dine to Learn More with Trevor and Laura. Dine to Learn More is where we talk about death and bereavement to deepen our understanding of this inevitable part of life.
Hello, I'm Trevor Josephson.
And I'm Laura Salimian. Thank you for tuning in to Dine to Learn More. Today we have a guest. Her name is Caroline Povey. She is the general manager of Victory Memorial Park and Funeral Center. She's a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and she's also on the board of directors at Peace Arch Hospice Society. Welcome, Caroline.
Thanks for joining us, Caroline.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
I think maybe the first question, Trevor, we should ask is, what does a funeral director do?
Yeah, we all hear about funeral directors, and many of us have had occasion to interact with funeral directors, but a lot of people haven't.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of curiosity about what is the role exactly of a funeral director?
Yeah. So funeral director wears many hats, but ultimately what they're doing is really guiding families on one of the hardest moments of their lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you kind of go on it, let's say a typical day of a funeral director, so come into the office or funeral home, and let's say that what we call a first call is a death call.
Okay.
Would come in, so they would take that call, speak to the person on the phone, and collect all the information of who has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would set a meeting to meet with the family or whoever is responsible, essentially the executor of that decedent. And then once they meet with them, they go through all the coordination, whether that's cremation or burial, choosing a casket, having a service, mm-hmm. no service, and they handle all of the logistics. So
right.
Registering the death of the decedent, mm-hmm. Getting the death certificates ready, what kind of music do they want played during the service?
Yes.
And all the behind the scenes of administration work that a lot of people wouldn't think of.
Right, so you're gently guiding them and providing all the options
so
they can choose what's appropriate for them.
Yeah, and a lot of the times they're also listening to families, right? So they offer a lot of emotional support.
Yeah,
it's obviously a very intense time emotionally for people when they're for that first call that they make and then the meeting that they have with you. It's some very important decisions that they need to make. I imagine some people have more of those decisions already pre-planned and others probably don't have anything, I guess.
Well, I would say most people don't have things in
really?
Order.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is actually, I mean, funeral directors don't typically do that, but we do have family service advisors at our location, and they primarily meet with people that are looking to prearrange their funeral and cemetery.
So it's
kind of a different department, you could say, but I would say most people don't have things in plan, which is interesting because we plan for a lot of things in our lives that aren't guaranteed.
Yeah,
right?
May or may not happen.
Exactly, right? We have car insurance.
Yeah.
You know, we go to the dentist. That's all preventative. But the one thing that is guaranteed in life, and a lot of people are not prepared for it.
Well, and I mean, this is something Trevor and I have spoken to lots. People don't want to think about death.
Exactly.
It's a scary thought.
Exactly.
So, but it's a thought of how it helps your family deal with the loss if you have just a few, even if I guess it's a few. If you had to pick just a few things for someone to have kind of arranged, what would you say are the top, just a couple or something that would really be the important ones if you were doing this?
I would say at least knowing whether you wanted to be cremated or buried. That's the top thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's really important to have a will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's actually probably number one. And then knowing what you wanted to do in form of what type of disposition you wanted. So whether it's burial or cremation, and then also whether you wanted to have a service or not. Those are kind of the three main things.
The main questions, answer.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have thought of those things just off.
And I think everyone now listening to this is going, have I made a will? They're probably feeling, no, I need to get on that. I gotta put that on the priority list. But of course, so many of us don't ever get around to doing it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when we have people that are calling us and they're grieving,
mm-hmm.
and we're going, do you have did the decedent have a will?
Yeah.
Well, no, they didn't. Okay, now we have to go through this order that's based on the laws in British Columbia,
right.
And they might not be that person in charge.
It might not align with what people really want,
exactly.
And yet they won't have a choice.
Yeah,
that is very true.
Yeah.
And people might have no, like you said, the person calling and doing this might not have been the person to be making decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So then,
you know, especially now we see a lot of blended families, right?
Mm.
So then that's when things come out and things don't always go the way that people planned, and it's not what you want to be dealing with when you're also grieving.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So what about being a funeral director have you enjoyed the most?
I would say really hearing the stories of the decedent, and it's so interesting to me how connected I can feel to someone that I've never met in my life. And you know, hearing what their hobbies were and the quirks and the this and the that and their favorite cookie or their favorite recipe, and you really feel like you get to know all these people even though you've never met them, and connect to the families at that time, right?
Yeah.
So I always say, you know, I'm usually really good at keeping it together throughout the meetings with them, and the moment I see a slideshow, that's when it really gets me.
I bet.
Yeah, because I've heard all the stories, and now I see all the pictures and the memories, and I'm like, wow, like, this was someone that had a whole story behind them.
Well, and I think that's part of the hard thing about grief is it's not just a name of a person. We always hear of people dying all the time around us, but it's just a name. And then to actually recognize them as a person and almost hold space within yourself that this was this person who was loved. They were their own main character of their story.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not just something side. So it's lovely that is what you enjoy the most.
And I think, you know, no two families are the same. And when there are families that are really open to personalizing their services, that is one of my favorite things as well.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, he really loved Kit Kats. Okay, well, let's make sure that everyone gets a Kit Kat when they're leaving the service.
That's
right?
Great.
So something as simple like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe speaking of the services, what can you tell us about what are different, like what are the common types of services? What are the differences between them?
So basically, we kind of break it down to three different types of categories. So there is your traditional service, where there is a casket present, so what we say, you know, full body present, that might be in our chapel, that might be at someone's church, so we go to the Catholic churches a lot, for example, and it's really kind of your traditional, what people probably think of a funeral service, that's what they would picture.
Yeah, what we see in the movies.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes.
Then we have your memorial service or celebration of life, which is known a lot now, where basically that's when there is no casket, but you could have maybe the ashes could be present in an urn or a portrait maybe, but that's kind of what a celebration of life is, so there's no body present. And then we would have our graveside service. So that is where there's the burial taking place and everything happens at graveside. So those are kind of the three main types of services. And then you can also have like a visitation. So that is where families come in and do basically an open casket viewing. And that might just be for the immediate family. It might be for everyone and, you know, whoever they want to invite to that.
Right.
Sometimes what we call is a personal family moment or a private family moment. That might just be one person that just needs 5 minutes with their loved one. So
that could be a very significant moment for a person who's struggling with the reality of the loss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is it's funny to say one of my favorite times, but not my favorite, but it is one of the most meaningful services, I feel, is when people come in and actually view their loved one, because I think it really helps with the acceptance of what's happening. I know a lot of people will say, oh, I didn't have the greatest experience, or I really don't want to see them. I've even recommended people coming in and just being in the room mm-hmm. with the closed casket.
Yeah, even that can have a powerful effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it must be hard with the when cremation came about, and I know some might, that is their process or tradition, but for that level of accepting and seeing for your own, for the family and loved ones, their grief and how that triggers, you know, starts the process of being able to see it, that could be hard.
Absolutely, especially for deaths that aren't expected, right? When people might not have that moment in the hospital to be with their loved one, so they didn't get a chance to see them before they passed away. I saw the impact of that definitely during COVID. When families weren't able to be at the care homes, mm-hmm. right? And the times that, like, the our visitations really increased during that time.
Yeah, that must have been quite the pivot for your services. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the hardest thing to maneuver?
I
guess just the services.
The services, in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot. Being by appointment only, that was really weird to us. Mm. We did a lot of virtual arrangements, which was also new to us. And then, the all the rules that came in. So maximum 10, maximum 20 people.
Gosh.
You know, how do you tell someone, oh, you can only have 10 people at your service?
Pick your top 10.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so,
terrible.
Yeah, that was definitely a challenging time for us.
And a lot of people are saying now, probably more than in the past, we're not going to have a funeral or mm-hmm. even a memorial.
Yeah.
You know, it's now becoming something that a lot of people are opting not to have.
Yes.
And I in the work that I do, working with people who are grieving, quite often I hear them say, well, my loved one didn't want to have a funeral. And so we didn't have one.
Yeah.
But then there's very noticeable struggle that they may have as a result of not having some type of a service or ritual.
Absolutely.
Do you see that happening?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of what we would say a no service option, mm-hmm. where we handle just the cremation and we'll return someone's cremated remains back to them, and same mm-hmm. thing, they'll say, oh yeah, we're just going to scatter, and they didn't want to have a service. And that's, you know, we respect everyone's decision.
Sure, it's their personal choice.
I think when people think of funeral, they think it has to be this big, you know, something in the church or in a chapel, and something
tied
religious.
To a certain tradition that's not your own.
And I say, you know, a funeral can be anything.
Yeah.
You can go to their favorite pub with your closest friends mm-hmm. and have a cheers for someone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It can be something as simple as that, just something small to honor that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So meaningful to do that, those
Absolutely.
Rituals.
Yeah.
So powerful. It's a way of remembering the person, honoring them, sharing those stories.
Yeah.
And also to bring that community to the people who mm-hmm. were the closest, to feel that you're not alone and that others are understanding your loss.
You know, we've had people come to the funeral home and be like, oh, my neighbor passed away. I want to know, are they having a service? And we're like, no, the family's decided not to. And you can just immediately see it in their face, like, oh, I was really hoping that there was something.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
you'd be surprised at how many people would show up for your own service, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it helps not just the immediate family, but the extended mm-hmm. friends and family mm-hmm. that may need some type of closure as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, something for all of us to
mm-hmm.
think about
when
you're thinking about these things.
Yeah.
Earlier you said that people can personalize their own services.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the person themselves planning their own funeral.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? I mean, can you kind of add, like you said, mention a Kit Kat bar?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can bring in, you can ask to have personal things brought
Absolutely.
In, music,
yeah.
and what kind of things?
We do it all.
Yeah.
So I'll give you one example. It's kind of a sad story, but so I helped husband and wife when their son passed away.
Mm.
And about 6 months later, dad was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, gosh.
So he came in to prearrange everything. And he really, like, down to the type of music that he wanted,
right.
the flowers. So he rode motorcycles, and he wanted his flowers to be displayed in his riding boots. The casket was actually made by one of his other sons.
Wow.
His son was a carpenter.
Oh, wow.
They put photos all inside of the casket, and then during the service, they had everyone sign the casket.
Great idea.
Little detail, like the smallest detail, we can do it all.
Yeah.
You know, like really, I'd be surprised at anything that we've said no to.
Okay.
As long as it's safe, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that. There's having even like the service cards that we hand out, right? The personalization of that on the back.
Yeah.
We'll have someone's favorite recipe on the back. So there's
like
all
that.
These little details to personalize.
So this is really changing the way we look at funerals, isn't
Absolutely,
it? Because I think
yeah.
people do have a set sort of perspective of what it has
yeah.
to be like. And it might be dour, it might be solemn, it
yeah.
might be quiet, you know. But
yeah.
it doesn't have to be like
no,
that at all.
No, we've had line dancers come to a celebration
yeah.
of life in our tea room.
Mm.
So really, like, it can be
okay.
whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a pet of a loved one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and that's very meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would almost think
yeah.
that would be
yeah.
helpful for them, too.
Yeah.
Like dogs. And,
yeah, absolutely. They're like family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we've had pets there before. Yeah, I can think of so many different things. People have worn favorite color, or we've had a Halloween themed service because the person loved Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah. This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I am like, wow, I
yeah.
want to hear more about all these details. It's
yeah.
really interesting. And like Trevor said, I think we always think of the movies,
mm-hmm.
what
yeah.
we saw, and a lot of that is tied to religion and
exactly.
this. And so if you're not feeling connected to that,
yeah.
doesn't mean you still can't go through these ceremonies
exactly
to make it personal for yep. you.
Yeah.
So with all these things you've told us about, what do you think has touched you and your staff the most from the funerals you've been a part of?
I think there's so many different like specific families that I can think of, but overall it's a really rewarding profession, and I think the thank yous is the most heartfelt aspect of our job. Like, we get a lot of thank you cards after. And so our company actually sends out surveys to families afterwards just to make sure that everything went well. And their comments, like, I could sit there all day and read the comments because they really do touch us. And I think, you know, we're in our job, so every day we don't really notice or realize what we're doing, and then once you come back, maybe it's been a week after that service, and you get the thank you and you're like, wow, I didn't realize how much I helped this family
yeah.
or touched them.
Yeah.
I can also think of, so every year we do our annual candlelight memorial service where we've helped the families of that year, and I think that was one of the moments where it was really eye-opening to me to have about 200 people in our chapel that have all experienced the same thing, or you know, gone through the similar moment this year. And as they're leaving, they're hugging their funeral director, saying thank you, and knowing that we've helped this many people is just, it was so touching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a very vulnerable time of life.
Yeah.
You've just lost someone, you're feeling at a complete loss of everything. Very disconnected probably from yourself, from your life. So then to be so kindly helped and guided, and also to know that all these things that you would do, you would we can make sure that these things are put in place.
Yeah, I think, you know, we often in our profession, we say we serve families. We have this mindset of we're really here to do whatever we can to help you, and I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Well, it's very challenging work to do at times. I mean, working here at the Hospice Society, people often say, how is it that you can do that work? I mean, it's the theme of it is death and dying, And I imagine it's the same for you. What would be your answer to that?
I think is having the right outlets. So for me, I've been very fortunate to have a really good work environment. So our team members, we all really support each other. We all get each other. We all understand we have hard days. And mentorship as well, right? So strong mentorship that understands that, hey, I just met with a really hard family and I might need an hour to go outside for a walk and decompress. And family support, of course, right? And making sure, what one thing that I always tell my team members is you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself before you're taking care of others.
Right.
So whether that means maybe you have to go find a hobby of some sort, whether it's going to the gym or yoga or spending time with your friends, is taking care of yourself. Because it is a really difficult job at times, and we see a lot of hard things that most wouldn't in their lifetime.
So
I think it's just taking care of yourself.
Right, just investing in those meaningful parts of a person's life, what really resonates for them, gives them purpose. Making sure that they do set aside time and energy for that.
One thing that has, I think, in our profession, kind of new, is talking more about burnout and stress. Hasn't really been spoken about a lot, and now it is. And even our company is just bringing in different things to help our team, right? So there's like an employee assistance program where people, if they feel they need someone to talk to, they can. Because, I think it's just realizing that people need it.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Caroline. This has been a very interesting, and I've actually learned quite a lot that I didn't know about it. So
definitely.
Thank you so much for giving your time. Once again, this is Caroline Poby. She's the general manager of Victory Memorial Park and Funeral Center, located here in South Surrey and White Rock area.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us in our podcast, and hope to hear from you. Again, we'll have some more topics coming up. If you have any questions that maybe this particular podcast today has brought up to the surface for you, please let us know. I bet you Caroline would be willing to come back again.
Absolutely, and, yes.
Yeah,
anytime.
That'd be wonderful.
Yep. Great. Yes, thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to learning more about death and grief. Stay tuned for more episodes by following us on Instagram or Facebook.